Therefore, every situation I am in and every situation that you are in, God is working something out of you. But you want to focus on the other person so you don't have to change. Okay, and that, this is fun preaching. Everybody just loves me. Everybody just wants to go. You want to give flowers now, or you can give candy, some cards, you know, something? So this was the really powerful key to this. And here's how I see it. If you've got a magnet, right? Get a magnet. You know, it sucks things to it that's like it. If you got two magnets, I know the field has to be a certain way and all that. I'm not going to get all that science junk. But two magnets that are whatever they're supposed to be to zap together, all right? Because I know you guys, somebody out there with some kind of engineering mind was already thinking, well, if you don't have the field force right, blah, 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 you know, get the tape on superiority intellectualism and get free. All right. Because I might not necessarily know all that stuff. And I promise you, I don't know why or the names of it. So anyway, these two magnets go together, okay? Now, there's something in this magnet, and if you get all technical, somebody wants to come explain it, you can. I'm waiting to see who needs deliverance. And there's something in this magnet that draws them together. It's the demon of control, and the demon of control that causes relationships. Unless God's in charge. Now, what is an enabler? I believe an enabler is a spirit that someone takes on because they cannot stand being hateful, mean, angry, and ugly. So they shove that thing down in the basement and they close the door. Now I'm going to give a little demonstration. Do not lock me in here. Where's Justin? Now, oh, you'll still be able to hear me probably, right? All right. So, don't y'all leave till I do the offering, okay? All right. So anger, self-hate, control, you don't want any part of. That makes you seem horrible. So you lock it away. I'll come out for a second. This door is the gatekeeper to controlling, mean, ugly you that Satan's made you into. You take on a spirit of being nice. I call it being the savior for everybody else. Oh, aren't they nice? She's so nice. I don't know how she married somebody so mean. Okay. You take a door to hide this control thing, this mean thing, this hurt thing, this self-hate thing. And I call it enabling. Or let's say substance abuse counselors call it enabling. In other words, it's kind of like a sponge that takes the abuse and internalizes it and tries to make everything okay. Now, the reason that you take this door is because you, deep down, have what is a counterfeit of compassion for the person who's abusive. Because you yourself know deep down you are too. In other words, I understand that. So it's not true forgiveness. It's not true grace. It's something that says, I can forgive that. Maybe they're right, it is my fault. It's something that doesn't want to look at the control in your own life. And maybe your control isn't necessarily violent. But here's what happens. This is what happens. This is funny because we did this with Edie. What happens when an enabler can't control the abusive person, or the person that they would call, when the victim can't control or stop or be in charge of the person who is obviously got the problem? Do you see what I'm saying? The good one, the bad one. when they can't control that person. In other words, things aren't working out. And they want that person to change, but that person isn't changing and they can't make that person change. And God takes grace, because only grace can keep in these situations with real peace. Then all of a sudden, while this person won't change, this person now is getting through the enabling door and pushing your buttons that God wants out. So what happens is they come at you and at you and at you and blame you and blame you, and it's your fault and you're ruining my life. What's wrong with you? Won't you enable me to keep being a jerk? And you say, no, it's not my fault. I've done everything for you. Haven't I done everything for you? I've done everything. I can't do it anymore. What's wrong with you? And if it gets real serious, that's Monday Night Movies. They call it temporary insanity. She'd never shot him if it won't enter to shoot him. Oh, this is fun teaching. So, the answer is, for this person, is to get rid of this and then deal with this. And you'll never enable anyone again to control you, to be violent to you, to abuse you, or put you down. You won't fall for manipulation. You won't fall for anything, because you will then, as a believer, have grace to be led of the Spirit. But if you have a hidden thing in you that's in that person that's trying to abuse you, hurt you, or whatever, it's going to be a constant feeding the two things. And if you go talk to the professionals about abusive husband situations, they told me, I went there to try to get help for another woman in our ministry who had a very violent husband. Wade wasn't violent. He just was more words and cussing and that kind of thing, which we got to experience in the parking lot today. But some people are very violent. I mean, they let loose. They lose it and hit and fight and horrible things. And so I went and I talked to one of the sinners that deal with that. And you know what they told me? I went as if I was going for my friend to get some information, which was true. But they said to me, they always go back. It usually takes 7 times of going back before they're either killed or they kill. And I'm thinking, this is all the world offers, you guys. This is all the world offers. Somebody is going to die when there's the murder spirit involved. Not in every abusive spirit, but in the murder spirit, where the violence gets that bad. So the church, we need to stop this, and we have to stop it in the church first. So when I really saw this, I realized the whole enabling thing is, and you say, how can that be controlling? Do you know how much power you have if you say if the marriage makes it or not? Do you know how much power you have if you say, yes, they can live in this house, or no, they can't? Do you know how much power you have if you say you can see your kids or you can't see your kids? Do you see how much power you have to try to control the other person to behave and not drink again or not smoke again or whatever it is? Do you see what I'm saying? Everybody's like, well, what's the solution? God needs to be the only one in control. Okay, God needs to be the only one in control. Let me bring this up while we're at this, because this has become a problem even in this ministry, but this is a problem in our lives. And the more anointed you get and the more you hear God and walk with God and the more authority you get, the greater problem this becomes because of witchcraft. If you have a spirit called scornful, that spirit is false wisdom. And we have all the scriptures for this on a tape I just did, and you can look these words up in the Bible, okay? I'm just trying to get these points across. You can find all this in scriptures. We've got tons of books you can check out that other people have written with all the terminology. Scornful is opinion. Please don't ever, ever tell me your opinion again. Don't have one. God told me years ago, get rid of your opinion. What's an opinion? What you think based on what you know and what you see. An opinion is what you think based on what you know because of what you see. You aren't to be led by your opinion. Two things can look exactly alike. Opinions is carnal-mindedness. And the Bible says it leads to demonic, it's worldly and it's carnal and it's demonic. And it leads to all kinds of horrible things. And we could pull that scripture out, but we've taught it. You can find the teaching. I don't know if it's out yet. I want you to get a hold of this. When a spirit gets behind scornful, or when a spirit gets behind your opinion and it moves into scornful, it sounds like you're right. And it causes confusion to people who listen to you. Scornful. And we've dealt with this. But scornful comes from control. Scornful comes from you trying to get people to do what you think is right. Sometimes you can be correct. But don't use that to take the place of the Holy Spirit leading you. We are to be people led by the Spirit of God. So we don't know. Let's use this example. Someone could say, well, based on my experience and based on what I know, Lisa should not let Wade back in that house for at least 90 days. That could be really good advice. It could actually be wisdom if God instructs somebody to minister that. Do you see what I'm saying? But even then, I don't believe in speaking so strong into somebody's life. And I'm not saying anybody's doing this. I just know we all have a tendency to. That they think it's God speaking when it's you. And even if God is speaking, we want people to mature enough to hear God for themselves. So we need to say it in a way that that they don't feel like if they don't do what you say, they're missing God. Do you understand that? The Holy Spirit did not leave the planet and leave me in charge of people. Thank God. I'm not to control people at all, even with my position as someone who ministers. It would be so easy for me to control you guys. Some of you. Most of you have been taught so well, it'd be really hard. Thank you, God. That's what I should do. I need to chain you up and teach you to hear God so you won't ever fall up for anything that the enemy might use me for. But I know how hurt people are looking for somebody to take the place of God in their life and tell them what to do. And I purposely won't tell you what to do. God help me. Sometimes if I say something really strong and very spiritual, listen. Because God is trying to break through to you. But I really don't know. What if God wants to do it different? What if God really wants to do it different? What if God was big enough to keep Wade in the hospital or to let him go? I think God's that big. I think people should do spiritual warfare. I think we need to teach people to do spiritual warfare. And that's what I did when I heard about God. This is the enemy letting him out before the time that you want him out. I break the power of that. And God, you alone can open this door or close this door. And so, Lord, whatever comes forth, I'm going to know came from you. I won't know why, but I'll know that your word is yes and amen. And when you say that no one can open a door or close a door except you for someone who's seeking you, I believe you. So when he came out, I wasn't like, horrible. What are we going to do? I was like, oh, yay. Maybe God wants him delivered before 90 days are up. I try. And I'm really honestly led with the Spirit pretty much. I don't have time not to be. We do this day in and day out, 24/7 almost, except for maybe 4 hours sleep. It's unbelievable anymore. I don't have time to think about this tomorrow. I'm being honest. You all need to jump in here and begin to be led by the Spirit, because we need more people being led by the Spirit. This ministry needs more people being led by the Spirit, and quit being led by scornful. Don't tell anybody your opinion anymore, no matter what. What color dress should I wear? Whatever color you want to wear. Hi, I'm coming to see you. Do you like my hair like this? Any way you want to wear your hair. I'm not into vanity. Do what you want. Praise God. Well, you almost have to retrain yourself to quit giving your opinion out, especially if you've got a strong personality or prophetic gifting. Because you know what happens then? Then people will have ears to hear what you really are saying when God's using you to say it. And I know this is for women mainly. This could be a really hard thing. God help us with this. But get the fear of the Lord. What's the fear of the Lord say? The fear of the Lord says, do I really, 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 really know what God is doing right now? And if you think you really, really, really know what God is doing at any moment in time, you might want to check pride in your life. Because I don't have a clue. Even with all the prophetic words and everybody saying what God's doing and this and that, you hear it all and you're like, I don't have an opinion. Here's what I do. Lord, I want it your will. You're big enough to keep me there. I want it, whatever it takes. I love you. I'm keeping my eyes on you. I know it's simple, stupid, but hallelujah, it's what works. Cindy, how do you get anointed? I don't know. I just spend time with God. How do you move in the gifts? I don't know. I just spend time with God. Wow. Can't you give us a five-step plan? No. I can give you a one-step plan. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Fall in love with him. And let him do whatever has to be done in your life so that you can be like him. Be more concerned about being changed into the likeness of Christ than you are concerned about anything else in the world. And then the rest just happens. Praise God. Now, so I'm dealing with scornful tonight too. Some of us have heard teaching on it. I want you to stop and see how much opinion you have. I think scornful is a defense for some of us when we feel like we're being attacked, or we feel like somebody's trying to control us, or we feel like somebody's judging us. And we instantly, oh, who am I talking to over there now? And I'm not just one person, but... If something comes out of your mouth so fast, that sounds like you are so right, and you haven't even had time to take it before the Lord, you need to see if you haven't used opinion and made it seem like it's truth. Scornful is opinion that is presented as truth. Now, there are situations where, honestly, you can say exactly what the word says, and that's not opinion. For example, if Deborah comes up to me and says, Cindy, is the baptism for the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues for me? I would say yes. Here's where it's at in the scripture. That's not my opinion. That's his word. Cindy, do you think everyone should get saved? I would say yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, there are things I can be very, 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 very specific about. But the only things that I can, Lord put it to me this way. If you really couldn't so much risk your salvation on it, then it's probably still an opinion to you. If it's something that you couldn't really risk your salvation with, you're still not really settled about it enough to declare it as if it's truth. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody would risk their salvation is still right. Some people are very deceived. The Muslims are very deceived. And they die all the time thinking they're going to paradise and land in hell. So that doesn't prove anything that you're willing to die for something.